to work, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever extends the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and of all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 brave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness. In the practice of pure attention. In the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day, oh, happy blessed place, oh, happy blessed time, oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Sunday groups and make them available to monthly donors. So what shall we look at this morning? June.
I'd like to continue a little bit with what I talked about on Thursday, which is having kind of a big, let's see, it's one of those things I hesitate to say out loud, or too loud anyway, but at least for now, having what feels like a kind of big film between, big gauzy film between what is so and what is not, following. And just kind of finding what feels, what is being described as a strength. As a just seeing a little clearer, a bamboozle that I have fallen for, as far as I can tell, forever. And it's something along the lines of, I just can't do this. Other people can do it, but they don't have my karma. And it's just too strong for me to really get in there and work on it. I can chip away at it. I can see there's been some movement over 30 years. There's been a little movement. yeah, that kind of thing. So then lots of evidence, so really believing it. You know, just for not being able to see quite through that story.
The bamboozle of I just can't do this has worked very well, apparently, for a long time. And it has been now it seems like a gauze or a thick veil that's dropped. And what the bamboozle keeps in place is this identity that, well, I can chip away at it and I'll do my best. I mean, I'll stick with it for 30 years, but I can't really move any big karmic boulder. I mean, I'm not going to make any great strides. Other people can, but they don't have this. You know? And that falling away, that belief, that bamboozle disintegrating, it's revealing this strength that's, can we say, always been there? Just hasn't been seen?
I'm sure it has. That's what I was, that's the part of it I wanted to talk about. I've been, from day one, able to project that strength.
Yeah, that's good to see.
See it in other people.
Yeah.
See the qualities that they're, let's face it, any type brings to the table.
Yeah.
And really not able to own them, not been able to own the projections.
Until now.
Until just very recently. And the all the things that I believed were the problems haven't been the problem. All the things that were stumbling blocks and just things I wasn't capable of doing, those were not the problem. The problem has been all along the first step in the process, which has been seeing through the eyes of the bamboozle. That very first movement that has taken me down that path of not quite adequate.
Yes. To. Yeah. It's a radical shift that's happening, and by radical I mean root, like really root, foundational, that because it's that very first movement. Because once we're looking through the eyes of the bamboozle, then all these things really do seem like problems. All these things really are obstacles. All these things, they're real. This content is real. But when that very first shift changes, and you're no longer looking through the eyes of the bamboozle, eyes of the ego identity, then it's clear that those were never problems. Those were, and I would project that there's even plenty of abundance evidence. There's an abundance of evidence that not only were those never really problems and they aren't real, but the human was actually able and did do all those things. You know? So it's just the shift of the lens through which it's all being seen. It's all about seeing.
Yeah. And so a phrase dropped in. I think I mentioned that I took about, I don't know, maybe close to 80 square feet of my wall and turned it into a blackboard.
Oh.
So I got stuff all over it. Phrase dropped in, I put it up on my eyes. It was actually triggered by something I read. And the phrase, and it's really keeping me in place that it's feeling so strong. The phrase is, it's a question, strong and intelligent, or mushy-minded victim. You know, and it wants to tell me, oh, that's so judgmental, that's so uncentered, you shouldn't use terms like mushy-minded. And I just turned to it and said, I am strong and intelligent, and you are not.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I'm just seeing it work and just constantly.
Uh-huh.
Just seeing the old thought pattern, the old mushy-minded victim, I can't do this, I'm not adequate. Thought pattern, and it's just triggered over and over, and I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
Instead of believing.
Yeah, yeah. That was the phrase that was saying, you're seeing it instead of being it, really, and seeing it through the belief in it. And so by having that phrase, strong and intelligent or mushy-minded victim, it's like the your stake in the ground, the anchor that no, this is what I am, and that way that identity is so revealed through that phrase, isn't it? Mushy-minded victim, so that you can recognize it and come back to it, or not come back to it in that recognition, not in the being of it, and you know. When you were just saying how that it just keeps you kind of see it spinning, it keeps coming up over and over and over. That does seem to be the nature of it. It just that it will never, that it won't stop spinning. Just like the wheel of karma doesn't ever stop spinning. It doesn't even need to. We just stop engaging in it. We just stop giving it our attention. We just stop getting hooked. We just stop all of that.
Yeah. When you put the word just in front of stop, makes it sound a lot easier. We eventually stop.
Yeah. We eventually just stop, actually.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sound like it's any...
Right, right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So, one last bit of the phrase, the much united victim phrase, and sensations and belief that trigger most often are, I don't want to, I don't feel like it. That's exactly it.
Yep. Isn't it handy that there's a whole book that
it's there's a whole book.
Is that it? And that it's titled that. I've often been grateful for that title too, because that's exactly the language. I don't want to, I don't feel like it. And that is the whole, you could slap that label on every time that trend, that resistance comes up, it looks like that. And it's tied up with the sensations and the thoughts and the beliefs and all of that. And it's so handy that we get to recognize it like that. Because it's just so ingrained what that really is. What a great question.
Mm-hmm. Been having a great workshop too.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it's been about this back. Right now, feeling so much gratitude for it.
It's a thought, right?
Yeah. Because, I mean, it just opened up the, wow, these insights that I could have never seen without it. This last week, basically, I've had to spend a lot of time resting. A lot of resting and stretching and icing and that kind of thing. And the week has felt like outrageously spacious. And just like there's all the time in the world, and it's super, there's been a ton of ease and a lot of relaxation, and almost like, where am I? What is this place? It feels like a completely different universe than it was in the previous months. What I was looking at was like, actually on the schedule, not that much changed. I mean, there were some minor tweaks and adjustments, but still, as far as like kind of accomplishing tasks and whatnot, I still think I got to 80 or 90% of the stuff I usually do. Mm-hmm. And so what I was able to see in that was like, whoa, what have I been doing these previous months where I'm just like, whoa, just like tensed up and rushed around and like, it's like, whoa, was all that totally unnecessary? And it was just like, I was kind of reflecting on that, and I was recording about it, and then the insight storm came in, and it was just like, pow, just started raining in insights about how all of that happens, and about how that amazing, how you do anything is how you do everything. So I saw, oh my gosh, there's no way I'll be able to say it all here, and I won't even try, but just some of the highlights was, I saw how I get talked into getting really tense, mm-hmm. and all the muscles getting tight, and then rushing around, and like really trying hard. Mm-hmm. And it's really tricky, because it's like there's the heart intention, mm-hmm. and there's a conditioned identity that's kind of slides in there, and then there's self-hate that kind of wiggles its tendrils in there too. Mm-hmm. And so it can look really genuine. Or authentic. It's like, I really like being like that, because it's like wholeheartedly giving, that it's like 100% participation and engagement. But it's like there's also this personality that's really addicted to and attached to being like that, because it's kind of how he proves his worth or value. Yeah. And then the self-hate is the whip just driving the whole thing.
Yeah. It's the cement that makes sure that identity stays adhered to that wonderful, wholehearted energy that it steals to live on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's kind of how it's been able to hide in plain sight, because it was completely oblivious to the fact that any of that was happening until this week when I got to see, like, in not being able to do that,
yeah.
It was like, whoa, yeah. Well, what was all that?
Yeah.
And so, that was really, really powerful to see. And I saw two massive things about it. One was that the thing that gets left out in that formula that's been going, that rushing around and trying really hard, mm-hmm. is relaxation.
Yeah.
And what the mentor dropped in was, relaxation is happiness. Happiness is relaxation. They're synonymous. And if you don't have relaxation in your life, there's no happiness.
This is what you get.
Yeah, this is what you get.
Yeah.
It's like rushing around in order to get the happiness. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, it's a con.
And it's a huge con. Yeah. It's a massive bamboozle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And gosh, that was big.
So let me reflect that back then, just so you can hear it again. I'm with you, that the con has been, okay, there's this wonderful, wholehearted, trying, earnest, you know, just want to throw myself into it. What gets attached to that is this striving and tension and trying really, really hard, and self-hate, which drives the whip, you know, cracks the whip on that. So that's that process, and that gets in some way labeled pursuing happiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what the mentor dropped in, and through the gift of the back pain, that process was interrupted.
Yeah.
It was not possible. And so the mentor dropped in, was able to have the space perhaps to drop in, relaxation is happiness.
Huh.
That's happiness.
Oh, wow.
Not that.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Thanks for reflecting that. I love this practice that it's able to connect all these dots that I absolutely couldn't see before.
Yeah.
And that's just so fun. I was seeing also how, and I've had my eye on this for a little bit, but how in this conditioned system, everything is gunning towards unsustainable. Everything is aiming to get me to the human to a place where I can't take it anymore, and it just all collapses. And in seeing this process, it's like, oh, that's the how, because no matter what I do. Again, it's how you do everything. Anything is how you do everything, whether it's here at the monastery or in my job or an intimate relationship or my family or anywhere. It's like that process of like giving wholeheartedly, but like trying really hard, and there's just no relaxation.
Right.
There's just none in it. And eventually it gets the human to the point where, I can't take it anymore, and I need a break. I gotta get away from this, and it's too hard and too stressful. And then there's, and then either there's like full-on falling apart and like bailing on stuff. I remember in the content of college, for example, how I'd get pushed so hard. And I was straight-A-plus student like all the way through. And I also dropped out of college like four different times. Because like I can't take the pressure. It happens everywhere. It happens even with fun stuff. So it's like I remember a college reunion get together with a bunch of college buddies, and it was like at this beautiful house on the lake, and all we had to do was hang out and eat and drink and hike and swim, and I was so stressed out.
Yeah.
I got talked into being so stressed out, like trying to be the perfect friend to everybody or something, and it was like, I actually got called out. It was really helpful. A friend just like, hey, just relax. It's like, those are the words that I need to be reminded of. Just relax, because all of that stuff that looks like it's trying to help me be successful or whatever, it's not that. It's not about that. It's about getting me to unsustainable. I can't take this.
Yeah.
Falling apart and radically limiting my options.
Yeah, because the unsustainable falling apart is a necessary part of the process, isn't it? And you know, so in order to, you know, in the way we talk about on TINWs and such, that the coping mechanism, you know, we cope, can't take it.
Yeah.
Or it's not the decision to be perfect, then we can't take it. So we revert to the coping mechanism. So in that way, that striving and trying, it has to build, it has to get that tension, that pressure built up. And then giving up, quitting college, you know, whatever, it releases it and just kind of swings it around so that the process can start again.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, that pressure and then that release, it just keeps that wheel cooking.
And the human gets nothing in that process.
No, actually, yeah, it's way worse than nothing. The human gets, the human gets proof over and over again that he can't.
Right.
That he's, you know, he does a really good job at the start. And it's really crazy, too, because the identity, he's known in every circle that he's in as being outrageously competent, adequate, efficient, like the kind of the perfect guy. Mm-hmm. That's what everyone sees. But his experience is, yeah, it looks good at first, but eventually I'm going to fall apart.
Which is because it looks good at first, but it's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. I can't do it. So there's a lot of things in life that this guy doesn't even get to try.
Mm.
Because they just say, there's no way. Mm-hmm. You're going to get 6 months into it.
Mm-hmm. And you'll fall apart, and then you'll have to...
Yeah, so it's just totally, just putting him in a little jail cell, that whole process. So great to see you, and I got to see all that from a week downtown with a hurt back in the forest area. Amazing that all that's available. The recorder and then connecting all these dots and seeing all this stuff.
Yeah, really seeing it. And having the environment that will support the human in, support retraining the attention to be on relaxation, to be on the mentor's message instead of on the karmic message of try, try, try.
Thank you, Yeah, it's great to bring it back because all of that was this conditioned story.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, simultaneously, there's a life track
mm-hmm.
where this being is completely adequate to everyone. And that whole up and down, the pressure and then the collapse, it's not necessary.
Yeah.
And there is, in spite of all that crapola going on all the time, there have been all these moments of grace.
Yeah.
All these moments of wu-wei.
Yeah.
That effortless action.
Yeah.
And that happens in spite of all that stuff. So that's kind of the proof that that's what's inherently there.
Exactly. And that's what was dropping in for me when you said the human just can't take it anymore. Because I suspected the identity, the I can't take this anymore identity, that is acting to keep the process cycling. That really what's going on, just like what we were talking about, is this amazing strength, this amazing sustainable entity called life, which is we call Lakota, that is actually going, living.
I love that. Just like in that last conversation,
mm-hmm.
that strength has been there from the get go.
Exactly.
Been there all along. And
it's what's unconditional.
Yeah.
It's
sustainable.
It's sustainable. ultimate sustainable.
So I've been looking at something inside that feels like. It's like this stuck battle, sort of. So, somebody wants us to call it a midlife crisis. Probably about 6 months ago, I decided I was going to run a big race. You know, I'm a runner, but I've never run a race. I mean, I'm a pretty long distance runner, but it's never occurred. But I just thought, okay, I'll run a race. My friends are doing it. And then I started noticing all my wrinkles, you know, so and then I just last week resigned from a job that I've had for about 8 years, a big job where I have lots of control and I get lots of, my ego gets a lot of, it means who I am, sort of. And so I been watching this thing happen simultaneously with all this relief inside, sort of, and possibilities, and really I've done it to be able to bring a lot more attention to me and where I live and practice. I'm still working, I just don't have responsibility, so I'm still staying in the same place, I'm just doing something that isn't a responsibility. And so I just am watching this, I mean, I just put my hands together and pull, because it feels like inside there's this stuck, you know, like they're ripped, you know, like this battle, like, no, this is who I am, and I, you know, I could just relate with that, and the content's completely different, but that thing of the heart wanting to do something and then trying. And it seems like, I mean, that's a very familiar, like an insight will arise and then ego grabs it and is going to work it. Mm-hmm. So a good idea happens, and, okay, so like the run, oh, I really like to do that, and then ego grabs it and it means something. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the insight is, I need to step down because I've got these responsibilities. And then ego grabs it and it means something.
And that's the pull.
I think that's the pull is the meaning, because I've been very disoriented, you know, just kind of cloudy and a drifty. Actually, it's been okay. Like, well, I go in and out. You know, ego wants to build it back and make things and make a long list of to-dos. And now you can do that. You know, there's kind of a, there's not just a, wait, the reason we've done it is to practice, you know, is to live in the moment one day at a time and to attend to what is right here, which is plenty.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It wants to, like, fill a vacuum. Well, now we can do this, and now we can do that. What about this? We'll paint the inside of the house and the outside of the house. And finally, we'll train the dog and put the food in order. Finally, you know, I mean, I'm sitting here, and I'm like, oh, yeah, now Sophie and I can come to the monastery. Woo! You know, breathe, you know. I mean, it's just like... I feel bombarded.
Yeah, it's like, it's so there's the, all of this energy, maybe, from having let go of the responsibilities, from making this, from these choices that you made, and whoosh, in comes the identity or the ego story, that's going to mean something, it's going to, I get this image of the pigs are coming to the trough, you know, because... I don't know why I had to be dropping, but it's like that. Here's all the good stuff that Susan has got, you know, is attending to in her life and is claiming in her life, really. But this is life.
And it happens, the thing I can relate with is it happens just as I start to relax at the line. I mean, it won't let me even, I mean, for a minute I thought, okay, I know what to do. I anchor myself with the breath. Because it's like, okay, I feel the body relax, and I'm right here, and then there's this pull, and then somebody says, well, no, I should be relaxing, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And no, I just need to breathe. This is all okay. This is all what's right here, including kind of this thing.
Including, okay, so I'm just breathing, and I'm watching the pull.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not engaging. I'm not going with the... meaning of the pull.
Or want to figure out the pull, which of course I want to figure out.
Okay, yeah.
We just figure out how to release the tension.
Yeah.
Figuring what out. My experience is if I move to the breath, that it may or may not release. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
If I can just focus on, you know, the inhale, exhale. Yes. But I found that really tricky, focusing on the breath. You know, it seems simple, but really, like, and then, well, what about this time, you know? And using ideas that are good ideas, like, okay, now we can come down to the monastery like we used to do with Claire and David and Sophie, you know, and then it goes on to the story.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. So when you're with the breath and you're focusing on the inhale, I'm just here. And then, whoosh, the story comes in. And you feel yourself pulled in the attention in that. But it sounds like there are times when you're just with it, like when the pull is there, that you're even able to just hold that in the consciousness of it.
Well, there are times, of course, because I just mentioned it. It seems like there are just like not very many. Even meditating this morning, just as I sort of began to stay with it, and I did, you know, there's the pull, I'm just watching the breath. Then it comes in, well, the clock's going, she's going to ring the bell any second. You know, I mean, it's just like, no.
So you might as well just go back to the story.
Exactly. I did catch that. I said, and then we have the whole group. We can, you know.
And you know, actually, I have my whole life.
I know. Well, I was going to say that, but that would have been a little, I mean, it did be that.
Yeah. Like it divides the times that you can breathe and times you can't breathe.
And because you didn't pay attention now, it's really too late because, you know.
Well, see, that's a really good bamboozle to see, isn't it?
Yeah. That's pretty common when that waiting for the shoe to drop. So.
And there's Susan, just inhaling and exhaling through it all.
I just have to remember that that is all there is to do. Right now, always, of course, but that will, the next thing I will see if I just do that.
Yeah.
If I,
yeah. And it seems like that is what you're doing.
Well, I'm reminded this morning.
Yeah. That that is what you're doing.
Yeah. I'll look at that. I am reminded this morning that that is what I'm doing.
And then the attention gets pulled off into someone looking to tell Susan what she should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Or what I'm not doing. So it reminded me of, I'm so grateful. My new next thing, you know, I have all these things, is to be the sashim master here. I got to figure out what I'm doing. But what happened to me one time on a sashim was I saw that I'm not doing it anyway. Which is what you just said.
Yeah.
So the truth is not the one that's breathing or counting the breaths. Life, God, whatever I want to call it. You know, that something is animating me and then ego comes in and says it's me.
Yes.
So when you just gave the reminder of that's what's really going on is the breath anyway. Ego tells me I'm not with it or I'm not doing it right or I'm not paying attention to it. But the truth is I am.
Yeah.
I just forget I am.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to identify with anything, let's identify with that.
Right. Because that's what the only thing
we really are.
Right. Anyway.
Sequoia.
That just reminded me, I just heard something that reheard something that made a big impact. And it was the guide saying, and I know whenever I say that I just get nervous what I got was something about we're just here to be present to the to our lives. You know? Like we're not going anywhere. We're not trying to get anywhere. I'm here to be present to brushing my teeth. It's my life.
Yeah.
You know? It's picking up whatever is in front of me on the porch. It's, I don't know. And it's so easy for me to forget that. Like, I'm going somewhere, you know? I've got this plan, and it's going to look like this when I arrive, and,
I've got this list of things to do. I've got this plan. Yep. I've got this picture in my head of what it's going to look like.
And if I get all my ducks in the row, the door is going to open and and it's my life is walking to the door, so to speak. And so I just was reminded of that. And,
such a beautiful reminder.
During that, I just want to say it out loud to reinforce that for myself. This is it.
Exactly. And do this, and this is it, is every single moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's, picking up our cup to drink. Mm-hmm. It's walking, it's turning the door handle. It's that.
Yeah.
And that we're just here to be present to our life, which is every moment.
And that, as you said, that just reminded me of the practice intensive right now on relationship. Mm-hmm. And just enjoying that. Bringing that whole focus in with that, just to be present to the content of my life and relationship with it, and what's just coming up is in love, just whatever it is that's in front of me, to remember that I love you, to just do it from that place. So
to bring that attitude of mind of love, which is our choice.
Mm-hmm.
We can bring whatever attitude of mind we want, and this being chooses love with that door handle or with that whatever is in front of us.
And it is a choice of when I'm present. It can feel somehow like a choice sometimes.
Yeah.
It just feels like when I just go to sleep and I guess sleepwalking, and just get carried along, and then to come back and be present. and to be able to make that choice for love, and to, and the love is just to not let this person miss her life.
That is, the love is not to let this person miss her life.
Yeah,
this discussion has been really, really good. Really good. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of themes here that I'm really glad that it came up. So the theme that I think we started off with about this karma that I have is just too much, or it's just the wrong. You know, it's just too something.
Yeah.
For this person to actually overcome, and the statement that, you know, I can do these little things, but ultimately it's not really going to take me to a place of ever getting over it. I'm just going to be this way forever.
Yeah.
And the other theme of whatever effort I put into it, creating all the tension and stress that makes it completely unsustainable, is like, wow, between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an impossible karma, you know, says karma. and the effort that I'm putting in to deal with it is unsustainable. Mm-hmm. And so where do you go from there, you know, except a lot of suffering.
Yeah.
And so it feels like that the same thing is kind of going around the room here, where there's like some clarity coming through that this has been going on for a long time. And there's this kind of growing realization that the only difficulty is the difficulty that the human is making, or that conditioning is making for the human to. Yeah,
and it's a very important distinction.
Yeah. That's the truth of it too. It's conditioning, complaining about it, and conditioning making it worse.
Yeah.
At the same time. And so that's kind of just generically how it works anyway. So, and there's this great growing realization that that's just all a bunch of crapola.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that all is required is just to relax, trust life, and enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
And and I'm seeing it in this project that the practitioner said yes to and knew she had to do, and whoever else was there was like, No, don't make me do this. And I'm seeing now that it's just another way to practice that very same thing. Just relax and enjoy life and people and energy.
And it's quite different being told to relax and just seeing that I get to relax.
And having the experience of relaxing.
Yes.
Like what was explained earlier.
Yeah.
You know, that it's kind of like it's not sustainable, so at some point it's just, you know, exhaustion or something, and you get in there and then there's a relaxation.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, there's really not anything to do.
Uh-huh.
It's just be here and relax.
Yeah, and from that place, and tell me if this is your experience, the attention is on relaxing. The intention just gets to be with relaxation. It doesn't, if the attention is not on, no, don't do this, because that's the stressful place, right? Either, and that can take either, as you point out, that no, resistance, or trying really hard and I'm gonna make it, you know, resistance. But either way, when the tension is there, stress is what's there, tension is what's there.
And the difference is the attention is on life, not on this being.
Yeah.
That all of that other stuff is all about self-consciousness, and this is all about me, and I have to do it, and I don't know how to do it, and you know, I'm expected to do it, oh my God, how do I, you know, it's like that TV drama kind of, yeah. You know, the agony of defeat and the whatever, thrill of victory, will she do it, will she not, and it isn't even about her, it's relaxing into life, and there it is.
Yeah, so the attention moves from being about all about me, all mm-hmm. about ego, all mm-hmm. about feeding that ego mm-hmm. drama, oh, is she going to succeed, is she going to make it, mm-hmm. no, I will, and just makes it all about life.
It's all about life. And just, you know, really the theme of the last retreat, it's aligning with life.
Uh-huh. Calibrating.
Life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our training.
Yeah.
That's our training, is to calibrate to that.
And it seems like that, for me, at first I was really trying to calibrate.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Ooh, what does that mean? How do I do it? And then again, it turns out to be about relaxation.
Yeah.
Just relaxing into what seems to be the calibration.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good point. That relaxation is the how, you might say, to the mm-hmm. calibration. You know, you can't calibrate to life from a place of tension, nervous tension,
right.
or whatever, you know, or trying, or whatever.
Right.
You're on two different channels.
Right. And you know, like the other things too, focusing on the breath, focusing mm-hmm. on the body, being bringing the attention to here, mm-hmm. as opposed to up here in the head. What does this mean? What is this about? How you know, blah, 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 all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know, it's just feeling more like less is more.
Well, because what's dropping in as you're saying that is coming back to the breath and all of those tools that we have, it's like what Susan was pointing at is that even that tension, that pulling can be inside of that
uh-huh.
awareness. That none of that is a problem. None of all that other stuff we've been talking about is a problem inside the awareness
right.
of relaxation.
Right. Right. None of it is about me.
Yeah.
Very big. Yeah.
Thank you. Jim, did you have something?
Well, very similar, actually. I was seeing the same thing in the conversation, at least that I heard in that last conversation, that it reminds me of, in the most recent retreat, the St. Francis prayer came up again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, may I seek not so much to be loved as to love. And I think the last line is something like, for it is in dying to the self that we are born to eternal life, or some Christian version like that. But that feels like the crux of it, really, is that I've just been seeing all the subtle ways that, to me, it goes all the way back to the first conversation where that's the movement, like the heart sees something. You know, there's just that life moving through the form of life, and then the way ego makes that into an I, a self, is anything. You know, it cannot catch our attention at first because it's so subtle, but even that movement of like, I know, I could,
uh-huh.
you know, or I'm gonna, or, you know, if I could really, yeah. you know, just anything that turns it into my life
yeah.
and what I can offer
yeah.
and what I can do and who I can be and uh-huh. how I could use my time. And, you know, all those things that are such a subtle place
yes.
that ego comes in to steal it from us,
yeah.
you know, ironically.
Yeah, it is ironic, isn't it? Because the irony comes from that there is an ego identity that is impersonating
right.
the human,
mm-hmm.
and in doing so, kind of kind of through our attention, you know, coming into existence. We have to put that in quotes, right? And that from that prayer of St. Francis, the dying to the self, so we are born to eternal life, it's in every moment. Okay, here it comes. Oh, I could do this. Die to that self. Oh, maybe it would mean that I die to that self.
Yeah.
You know, and in that process of letting go, in quote, dying to that self, that's where the human really gets to live in the eternal.
Actually receives, because it's what it is.
Yes.
Because so the movement towards the self is a movement away from what is,
really is,
which is inherent in that is suffering.
Yeah.
So, you know, I suspect it's something like life moves to love, and then ego in that thinks, I could be loved. But, you know, it doesn't, we don't say it that way, at least not at this level of practice, right?
Yeah.
Because that would catch our attention. But it is that.
Yeah.
It's like the movement is to love, and I could be loved in this.
Yeah.
And that's the flip of them becoming, you know, something that's going to try to have it.
Yep.
Which is, it's all taken.
Yes.
In that sleight of hand.
Yeah. It's all taken in that very moment that we that happens, that process happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's really quite expansive to look at that, because, you know, it takes everything. So, you know, there are those places in practice where, oh my gosh, we're just seeing all of it, and it's so obvious, you know, everyone's good, and, you know. And then there are places where it's not like that. And in those places, at least for me, when I can practice remembering that orientation, it's like the best analogy I can think of is, I've heard Sherry talk about, again, this is one of those, this is what I heard from it, but as a young person growing up, I think in high school, watching people get, being, like if someone was, you know, whatever, teasing her, you know, being mean to her, that there was a sense from her internally, I'm grateful that that's keeping someone else from having that experience.
Yeah.
So there's a sense of, there's such a movement when, you know, it's not going well, or there's sensations that I don't want, or I don't like this, or I, to try to get me out of it, I don't like it. But to hold that in the larger perspective of there is no me, there is no self that this is happening to, and that larger perspective of, to switch the attention from, because in that place, in the, oh, it's hard, and, you know, I want to be loved, or I want to, whatever it is, to flip it to the attention to love, you know, so whatever I'm seeking. So actually, it reminds me, too, one of the things that had it drop in was that conversation about the practice intensive that we're in. And so one of the practices that was suggested is choosing a quality that you want to embody for someone. And so one of the ones I've been practicing with is appreciation. And, you know, given my life circumstances, I was sort of looking at who to embody that for. And so I decided to embody it for Jen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been doing this really fun practice of, so I send off an email or text message or whatever with something, and I realize on a certain level, I know what response I want, and so I give that to Jen, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I text back to Jen, thanks for that. That was really, you know, that was helpful that you, you know, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And it really takes it out of that seeking the thing.
Yes.
And just cuts right to receiving it.
Yeah. And in doing that, the larger container of life is really caring for this human, this being.
Yeah.
And therefore, there is no movement toward the, well, I've got to, the seeking, the trying to get
the self and other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think in that, it's been such a funny experiment to watch. Like, well, that doesn't count. I mean, you're sending that to yourself. I mean, so it has to, you don't have an objective perspective on whether actually that was a, you know, just all the conversation around that. And practicing just receiving it. You know, just receiving it. Because in that movement, it is life appreciating,
yeah.
Right? And versus the other, where it's like, well, but I want you to say it to me, so that da-da-da,
yeah.
Which creates exactly that yeah. self and other.
Yeah.
Which, yes, maybe momentarily, we're on the good side of the duality, and we get what, quote, I want. But that's completely keeping in place, just getting ready to go to the other side
yeah.
of the duality.
And that's really the whole heart of the practice intensive on relationship, isn't
yes,
it?
Exactly.
That if, as we practice embodying that, mm-hmm. we become, mm-hmm. well, the person we want to find,
yeah,
or we,
exactly.
we become that which we want in the world. And that is the experience that we get to live in,
yeah.
because it is who we are.
Exactly. It's who we are, and it's what we're receiving in every moment. It's
yes.
just the attention isn't on that.
Yeah.
The attention is on seeking it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And to get it, that process of seeking it is a process of seeking it. It actually doesn't even want to find it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I can't remember what it was. I was reading something or listening to something recently that was talking about that process of, you know, without realizing it on a very subtle level, most, quote, sincere seekers have no, like, desire to find.
Yeah.
Because being a sincere seeker is its own thing.
Yeah, that's
so,
who I am. I'm the sincere seeker.
Yeah.
I'm not the sincere finder.
Exactly. and in that finding it, there's no drama.
Yeah.
That's one of the huge things I practice with a lot of the time is
yeah.
there's nothing mirroring the self.
Yeah.
You know, when there are no problems and there's not a constant stream of breakdowns and it's not triage and there's nothing, it's very quiet. It's very, very quiet. There's nothing reflecting that self,
yeah.
you know, in that, when we're in the process of receiving.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be that place that Sherry's pointing to, where when we really receive, there can be a wanting to kind of cling or hang on to it, or to,
yeah.
okay, put it in your little patch, spiritual patchwork or
right.
quilt or whatever. But and so practicing just saying, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and the really interesting thing about what you just said is that to realize that wanting to put it in your spiritual patchwork world and all that seems like it's because, gosh, that's such a great experience and I want to, but it's actually the ego process
yeah.
of killing it.
Yeah, it's just
right?
another version of, well, now I can
exactly.
come to the monastery with Sophie. Now
exactly.
yeah, it's just another version of that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but just in that every moment, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah.
You want
to? I just want to say I'm so grateful to arrive here for the monastery and people here. My kind of impression is that this place waits for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I go somewhere, I get stuck, struggling, and they're like, oh, I can come back. And the same experience I have kind of minute by minute, I go, I get lost in the thought, I get tensed, and then I'm like, oh, I can come back. And then I'm coming back, and that sense of relaxation and finding peace, finding home.
Are we lucky?
Mm-hmm.
Are we lucky to have that
yes.
so modeled in a very real, tangible
mm-hmm.
way to come home? That you know, that the place that we can come back to and find ourselves
yes.
home. We
yes.
have an actual place to do that.
Yes.
And we can model it, you know, on this real physical plane, what is actually going on an internal basis
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah. And just seeing a friend of mine just leaving monastery and coming back gives me an impression of like, oh, that's such a helpful place for, you know, so many people. I'm kind of drawn to help this place, you know, like kind of participate in, I have this kind of gratitude
mm-hmm.
to this place and Shiri and monks and people here and the whole Sangha, it's been life-changing for me. And this time I'm coming, I'm again reminded about, it's not about just kind of taking time off, you know, from busy life, because it just happened to me. I was kind of placed on time off suddenly, and I'm there in a busy life, but I have free time, and part of me thinks like, oh well, that could be kind of good spiritual opportunity, you'll go do this and that, but then ego comes in with its own agenda, and I'm watching like, wow, like, here's my intention here, here's I'm sliding slowly there. And at that moment was like, oh, okay, but I know in a month and a half I'm gonna go back to the monastery, and doesn't matter what Igor is trying to do here, I have a place to go, I have a kind of I know what to do.
And you've got your compass set on true north.
Yes.
And you know sort of where what you're about, and it can be your place, your pointer, kind of the place that you know you can go back to, just like the breath.
Yes.
And the part that you're pointing to around the participation and giving back, you know, when and you'll have this month to practice with that. It sounds like what you're looking at is what is that give and take? Gratitude for having it and generosity and contributing to it. Because they're both going on simultaneously, right? The receiving and the giving are really one, and that's what you're participating in.
Yes, and also it's one trick the ego pulls me into, like, oh well, okay, you have a monastery, it's all kind of settled, you know, now you can relax, now you can do something mindlessly, because mindfulness is here assured, it's all kind of taken care of. But now what else? You know, what can we do? So
now, what am I going to think about while I'm here at the monastery?
Yes, yes. So it pulls me into like some other things while this is kind of done, and nothing else to do. It tries to pull attention into something to think about, and this time for me coming to this visit. Approaching to the visit was a practice opportunity of, oh, okay, even I have a place to go, it doesn't mean I can just check out.
Right.
And
it's a place to go, not a place to go to sleep.
Yes, and also that monastery cannot practice for me.
Yeah.
I cannot buy it, I cannot have it,
very
I cannot package it.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, important for all of us to realize. And it does kind of bring it back to full circle to where we started, that we are showing up and we're practicing in that way. And while conditioning would tell us, let's do it this other way, you know, we can't do it, let's go to sleep, let's think about this, whatever, the structure of the practice is such that we'll be reminded.
Yes.
Thank you.